Hi, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Essential oils have become the natural go-to solution for hormone imbalance, inflammation, depression, digestive issues, and improving the immune system, just to name a few. Dr. Eric Zielinski, author of The Healing Powers of Essential Oils, is going to share all the latest information, including the best way to use them to enhance our health. Don't go away. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a chiropractic physician, public health researcher, and aromatherapist. He's the host of the Essential Oils Revolution Summits and is considered one of the nation's leading authorities on essential oils education. Welcome to the show, author of the book, The Healing Power of Essential Oils, Dr. Eric Zielinski. Great to have you on the show, Eric.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Dr. Friedman. The honor is all mine. Really excited about this.
That's great. Now, Doc, essential oils have become a hot topic for our listeners that are newbies. What are essential oils and why should people use them?
Wow, that is a loaded question because there is a lot of history that we got to cover within like just a couple of minutes. And that's something that I really want to instill in people is using plant-based medicine has been around since the beginning of time. And that's what essential oils are. They are the aromatic compounds. They are, in fact, what chemists call the volatile organic compounds. Volatile meaning they evaporate. So the best way of illustrating this is for those of you who like to enjoy fresh lemonade, or maybe you cut up a lemon or a lime for a drink. Well, when you're cutting that lemon rind, that orange rind, whatever it might be, you will smell the essence of lemon, orange, grapefruit, or whatever that you're doing. That is what you're smelling, is literally volatile organic compounds being emitted from the peel of the citrus. And when you get those peel, not the fruit, when you get 40, 50 lemons and you take the peel, you press them together, you express them together, you extract essential oils. And it takes just about that, 40 or 50 lemons to get one itty-bitty bottle of lemon oil. And that's what those are, very beautiful aromatic compounds that have a strong healing component to the body.
Wow, that's a good explanation. I like that. Now, let me ask you, essential oils, they can be ingested, put on the skin, poured into a bathtub, inhaled through a diffuser. Is there a better way to use them, or do all of these methods have some type of therapeutic value?
Well, the best way is safe. And every one of those methods that you discussed and mentioned have significant risk benefits to them if you don't use them the right way. We got to keep things in the context, Doc, and this is really important. You're not going to walk, and again, we'll use lemon as our example. You're not going to walk into a lemon grove and see a pool of lemon oil. It doesn't exist. People need to extract them, so they're highly concentrated, and our bodies were not designed by God to have these chemicals directly put on our skin, or to just straight out of the bottle, or to just, again, use willy-nilly. So all of those ways, whether we're going to inhale the vapors, apply them topically, or ingest them, are all safe, all effective if done the right way. Personally, my preference, and I've seen most research that substantiates that topical application done the right way is actually the most effective for getting the chemicals throughout your body. Now, there's other ways that we could do things, and depending on what the target action is, right, that will determine how we use them.
So on the skin, but you bring up such a good point, the right way. I actually had a patient who had raw, irritated skin and blisters on her neck. She heard essential oils could help and rubbed them directly on her neck. She didn't dilute them. So share with the listeners the importance of diluting. What do they use? A carrier oil, cream? How do they get it where it's not so concentrated?
Yeah, good question. Dilution 101. Our bodies are not designed by God, again, to have these chemicals on the skin directly. So you need to dilute. And dilute means you just have to spread them out a little bit. So best way of explaining it is you use a carrier oil, which can be any fatty oil, any fruit oil, jojoba, almond, sweet almond, olive oil, grapeseed oil, coconut oil, you choose. Any carrier oil that really works within your budget. For those of you who aren't used to essential oil therapy, just go to your kitchen. Olive oil, you probably have it. If you're a health nut, I'm pretty sure you have coconut oil. Mm-hmm. Now, the best way of remembering this, and I have a guide, actually, Doc. I have a guide, right, and I have all these charts that people can download for free because we're getting the numbers now. We're getting in the math.
Right.
So the easiest way to remember is 1 ounce of oil has roughly 600 drops. So assuming we're going to start with 1 ounce of, let's say, coconut oil. If you want a 1% dilution, then 1% of 600 is 6. So that means 6 drops of essential oils in total added mixed with your 1 ounce of coconut oil. Now you got your 1% dilution. Why 1%? Because 1% is ubiquitously accepted by aromatherapists and health experts alike for all ages, whether young, whether old, for sensitive areas at all, from the underarms to the face, the genitalia. The higher you go, 5, 10, 15, 20%, that's when we really start to weed out a lot of population. We've got to be careful.
Yeah. Does that also apply to the diffusers? I know I use a cold diffuser with lavender and cedarwood oil at night to help me sleep. It calms my mind. If I've had a stressful day, it helps. But, you know, you only need a few drops. People, you don't need to do half the bottle, correct? The same principle.
Yeah. And for a diffuser, the easiest thing, most of them take out the guesswork. They give you instructions. So you fill to the fill line. Most of them on the market are about 100 to 150 milliliters of water. Okay, 4, 5, 6 drops max are pretty good for that. Don't use a carrier oil, by the way, because that will gum up the diffuser. The nice thing is about what those ultrasonic diffusers are, those are the ones that they have like a vibrating disc at the bottom of the diffuser. They vibrate so rapidly, they actually emit and break up the chemicals in the water and of the essential oils into the air. So you have millions and millions of particles being dispersed in fine mist. And it's not diluted, but it's highly dispersed. So you can actually put your nose over a diffuser and inhale and get a very nice, concentrated, safe, effective way of inhaling essential oils.
That's great. Is there a difference between the cold and the hot diffusers? I guess one heats up the essential oils. There's a difference. Which is the one that's better?
Yeah, there's a variety of ones. There's a nebulizer, which is one that, again, vibrates. It's a vibration technique that you just put straight essential oils into it. You put anywhere from 15, 20, 30, 40 drops of essential oil. It's very concentrated, though. You only want to use that for 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes at a time. There are those ultrasonic diffusers, which are probably what most people think about. That's just cold water, add a few drops of oil. There's also heated diffusers, and that's anything from candles. Like, you know, you see the ones at the aromatherapy shops or into your local health food store. You got this beautiful ceramic-looking thing where you put a tea-light candle. There's also plug-ins. The bottom line is you do what works for you. And depending on if you really need a high concentration of essential oils, because let's say you're trying to battle an allergy attack or a panic attack, that's maybe where the nebulizer would come into effect, or maybe even an inhaler. Having a to-go tube that looks like a lipstick tube. I have recipes on how to make all that on my website because they're super easy and cheap to do, very cost-effective. That's another way. That's another technique for diffusing. They're really nice. They're on the go. And they've been shown, and you know, Doc, most clinical trials that talk about the benefits of inhaling essential oils really use that inhaler technique. Like, there's one study I'm thinking of about women in actual labor. During labor, what researchers have done is just putting literally 3 or 4 or 5 drops of clary sage oil onto a cotton swab and putting that cotton swab, fastening it to their gown. And that's it, just allowing them to just smell the vapors. And they found that just that simple technique actually decreases pain during labor and speeds up the first stage of delivery because it really calms the woman down, helps relax their mind, body, and emotion, and speeds things along. So, again, whatever works for you, because there's a variety of ways of using them.
Wow. Now, I mentioned, you know, some of the essential oils I use to help me relax and sleep better. What about the other side of the coin? Is there anything people can put in their diffuser or on their body in the morning to help them get energized besides Folgers coffee grounds?
Good question. And you know what? To that point, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's a subset of population, especially children that have autism or on the spectrum, adults with ADHD, that when they're exposed to lavender, they have a tendency to actually get excited. So I bring us back to the functional medicine concept of biochemical individuality, and we need to remember what works for me is not necessarily going to work for you. So even though we say, peppermint and orange and rosemary and rabanera and these types of eucalyptus, these types of oils have been shown and people have experienced through years to really energize, create just clarity and focus.
Really?
But it might not work for everyone. It's all about finding what works for you.
True. And you mentioned children. I guess it's okay, safe for children to use essential oils. I actually read that vetiver oil can help ADHD. Any effects? Okay.
Yeah. And so the thing is, again, it's a matter of working with the population in the way that they should be worked with. Great example is there's baby aspirin and there's adult aspirin and there's doses in between. And so the key is dosage. And when it comes to internal use, that's the same thing. Because, folks, if you like your Coca-Cola, what do you think Coca-Cola is? It's essential oils. It's like a very specialized formula. Anything you taste, anything you smell on the market has been either a direct essential oil or it's a synthetic version of an essential oil. But it's all about dosage. So you can go back to my chart that I've created. Okay, what do we do for kids? At what ages? Because there has been research to substantiate each. But it takes a little time, but I'm telling you, you got a couple handy charts, got some use guides, and it's just like anything. Like, you know, when I was a kid, my mom just didn't give me the bottle of drugs and say, go for it. She used to go over human instructions, and I want to, encourage people because I've noticed something, Doc. A lot of people in the natural health world kind of just want to do what they want to do, and they don't see the risk, like the medicine. You give someone medicine, they'll read that whole crazy pamphlet the pharmacist gives them. But they don't see the same thing. You got to, before you take a probiotic, you got to read into it for a minute. Same thing with essential oils. This stuff can be very beneficial, but also they can hurt you.
Well, yeah, it's like using the example of my patient. You know, she put it right on there, but I guess, as a chiropractor, you and I both see a lot of people with back pain and arthritis. Are there essential oils that you found in your practice that could actually help reduce their pain and inflammation done the right way with the dilution?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's actually been. That is one thing when it comes to it. I have an entire article, an entire section of my book devoted to that because there's so much that people can do. I'll just list off some. And the variety, again, folks, you want to limit when you're making a blend, when you're doing diffusing, you want to limit to two or three oils at a time. And once you really start getting the feel for what works for you, you could add. But typically, you're not going to see a blend with 20 different oils. It gets counterproductive. And so we do have synergistic effect.
That makes sense.
And you have, so you have, we already mentioned clary sage for women, unbelievable for birth, menstrual cramps. So let's talk women for a minute, menstrual cramps, right? Clary sage, lavender, geranium, ylang ylang, all been shown clinically. Vitex, very good. When it comes to just achy joints, that's where the winter greens, the rosemary, the peppermint come into play. Frankincense is analgesic. Copaiba is a great one. That's very good. Some people like to put a couple drops of those oils with a little bit of olive oil or coconut into a capsule and actually ingest that. Marjoram is another one that's very good. For folks that have just generalized pain, again, it's not really a joint thing, but muscles. A lot of the same things apply, the frankincense, the peppermint, the wintergreen, spearmint. I've actually found orange oil to be very anti-inflammatory, and that's a key. We're not talking enough about orange, because orange is one of the most cost-effective oils on the market, and it's what I believe to be one of the most potent for everything from cancer to inflammation to pain to mood boosting. It's just, wow. You just look at it, and I wasn't expecting it. When I was writing my book, Doc, I went on a whole tangent on orange oil, and I couldn't get enough out of it. And I'm just, the deeper I go. Yeah, so again, you find what works for you, and a lot of folks have found orange to be a great adjunct to their natural health solution.
That's great. And you mentioned females. Is it safe for pregnant females to use essential oils? I guess it would help them.
Yeah, there are a couple you want to be careful of. And I will say when it comes down to it, the truth of the matter is, as a researcher, I'm remiss to say we don't have enough research to make conclusive advice either way. Bottom line, not many women and not many organizations are willing to put women at risk to even do these kinds of studies. So we have a lot of in vitro, those cells in the petri dish studies. We have animal studies. And at the end of the day, we don't have big pharma pockets. You have industry pockets and you have very select nonprofit groups that are even doing research. So it's really hard when we don't have billions of dollars in the back end. So, yeah, oils are very, very safe. And I could share with my wife 4 natural pregnancies, home birth, all using oils from start to finish. There are certain oils you want to be careful of towards the end of your term. And when you have the baby, like sage is one that's notorious for drying up your milk ducts and being counterproductive if you're trying to nurse. But also, if you're trying to wean, that's a great one to do it. But there are, again, there's certain things you have to learn about the female body. which is quite different, you know, as you would think, than a male body. So there's certain oils that do certain things.
Interesting. Good point. Now, you mentioned briefly, you said ingesting essential oils. Is there only a certain kind that people should take internally, and how do they take them? You know, what do they do? Put them in a pill or in a smoothie, or give us an idea of internal?
You want to be careful. You want to be careful of really irritating or even burning, damaging the mucous membranes in your esophagus, your oral cavity, and even in your stomach. So to just get a drop of oil, and now you can, and some people do, and it's an old-school aromatherapy technique to maybe put a drop right under your tongue. I have found that can actually hurt a lot of folks because a lot of people have poor oral health, or anyway, you just do too much and it could really cause what's known as sensitization. The body will actually develop an allergic reaction to it. It's beyond contact dermatitis. Right. So what I do is I like to dilute them. And it's like we go back to what we just shared, the 1% dilution, you know, you get some coconut oil, you get a teaspoon of coconut oil, you put one drop of essential oil into it, you can mix that together, add some honey, that's your medicine. Like, that's kind of what I do when the flu's coming upon me, or I get like a stomach bug or something like that.
So you can put a couple drops in your, can you put a couple drops in your juice or your smoothie? Would that also dilute it enough?
No, that's the thing. It won't dilute it because water and oil don't mix. To do that, you need to pre-dilute it. Yeah, good point. So for me, I don't drink soda. I haven't drank soda in 15 years, but I do like that taste. So what I like to do is I like to add lemon or orange, maybe grapefruit, with some liquid stevia, which is an extract. It's an alcohol extract that acts as an emulsifier. And I like to mix those two together first and then pour in my sparkling water with some ice. I got the soda pop. But you got to mix the oils with your carrier oil or an emulsifier. An emulsifier is this fancy word for something that helps water and oil mix. It equally disperses the essential oil. Because otherwise, and I get it, people do this, but I'm telling you, don't take my word for it. Get a glass of water, clear glass of water, like a glass, and then put 2, 3, 4 drops of orange oil on top for an experiment, and tell me what happens. The orange is going to, it's suspend on top, so what's going to happen? You're going to drink the oil, and you're going to have straight essential oil touching your lips. Same thing for your bath, Doc. So if you're going to put essential oils with your water in your bathtub, well, what's the first thing that typically touches the water in the bathtub? Your feet and your bottom. So people have been burning their genitalia by not using the right approach to diluting essential oils first, then to apply the diluted essential oil into the bath. Same thing for internal use.
That is a good point. I had another patient story. She did. She burned herself in the bath, but she didn't put that many drops. And I guess I didn't realize it would float up, and it probably just got to one area. She didn't dilute it.
Yep, exactly. So a good thing is don't use coconut oil in your pipes because that can clog your pipes. So you could get some, even coconut milk actually works. Or you could get some olive oil. And that's really nice because it acts as an emollient. And when you get out of the bath, you find your skin moist and moisturized. And same thing. So, again, you could put in capsules. You want to limit to, again, culinary dose. A typical culinary dose is 2 or 3 drops. So if you're making spaghetti sauce, while you're cooking it, you could put a drop or two of oregano. That adds a nice flavor to it. Same thing for whatever it might be, whether it's bone broth, you want to put in some black pepper. I mean, all these oils have medicinal effects to it, but enhances the flavor. I got to tell you, Doc, there's nothing like a fresh drop of cilantro and lime in your guacamole. Like, are you kidding me? That, like, just brings the flavor out.
Right.
But you want to mix it first. You want, again, pre-mix with a carrier oil. That way, it's everything is just safe and diluted because you don't want to burn yourself.
Good analogy. I like that you teach with analogies. I do that too because I think it clicked for everybody. They go, "Oh, I get it. Cilantro. Yeah, you wouldn't want a whole mouthful of that. You want it mixed." So that's kind of it's a good visual. Let me ask you: people have like digestive problems, like irritable bowel, leaky gut. I guess they can't take it internally. Would there be an external oil that's good for them?
Oh, they could. Now the thing about it, you got to remember when it comes to anything on the distal, you know, the distal GI tract. The colon, the leaky gut, because people don't realize, well, you know, and I know, but leaky gut isn't your tummy. Leaky gut is a condition with your intestinal tract, which is further down the GI tract. So if you're going to take some, let's say we talked again, some coconut oil, actually oregano oil has been shown to repair leaky gut. They actually have been shown to actually increase your intestinal villi, to increase their size, to really reduces the tight, or brings the tight junctions together to reduce the quote leak. So oregano oil is really, really cool when it comes to leaky gut. But how do you get the oregano oil there? That's tricky. So you can't just put it directly into your mouth. You can't just dilute it. A gel cap's probably going to get dissolved by the time it gets to your stomach and the gastric juices. You actually have to use what's known as an enteric-coated capsule or a time-release capsule, which is a high-grade polymer that won't digest and break down until it reaches your intestinal tract, which then helps guarantee that the actual oil will then affect and be in your gut. So that's one approach. Again, enteric-coated or time-release capsules.
Do they buy the capsules and put the oil themselves, or do they buy it with
You have to.
Those places that sell the empty capsule, and they create it themselves.
Yeah. I mean, and they're all medicinal grade. The other technique is to actually apply topically, and I can't prove it, but I do know that oils do penetrate into the bloodstream within minutes, and they do go down to the cellular level. So what I do is I would produce like a 5, maybe on the high end, 7, 8, 9, 10% blend. Again, the percentages off of the total that you're using. So you have to refer to your chart. Don't worry about the math.
Right.
And you apply it over your abdomen and lower abdomen. And good oils like peppermint has been clinically proven to help irritable bowel syndrome and SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Again, we talked about oregano, which is very good for leaky gut. And then other oils like thyme and rose and tarragon, which are also very, very good traditional gut health oils specifically.
Yeah. You've mentioned a lot of different options. I guess my question is if you could pick just three of your favorite, those can't live without essential oils, you're on a deserted island and you just had three, what would you choose?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. It usually changes. So today, where I'm at right now is just, again, where I'm at. You know, I am loving my clove. I typically find clove oil in orange and... Oh, I don't know. We got to do a toss up for the third.
Frankincense?
I got to say peppermint. Frankincense won't even rank. I mean, for a variety of reasons. Why? Because it's five times as much to buy it. You know, it's expensive.
Right.
I mean, I try to be realistic with people. So clove oil and orange and peppermint, you can pretty much do anything you need to do with oil with those. Because clove is super high in the ORAC scale. Like essential oil of clove, it's crazy. Like the reports I've seen has, like the ORAC value is literally like tenfold what you see blueberries and turmeric and acai. It has more antioxidant value than like anything. I mean, it's crazy to even consider.
Wow.
That's why most companies have clove oil in their quote community blend. So if you want a great oral health solution, because I love oil pulling, I love using oils for anything. Again, topical infections, whether it's a bacterial infection or whatever, clove is it. Orange, I can't get enough of orange. I mean, just period. It's just everything, again, from cancer to inflammation to mood boosting, clinically proven to help with depression, anxiety. And peppermint, I got to add, because it's that invigorating one. It's that pain-relieving one. It's that one that you want to get up and go, because it also, all those three together blend well. That's the other thing, because they work well synergistically. It makes a great toothpaste, a great body rub, a great blend in your diffuser. So I go back. Sometimes I swap. But those are my primary three.
That's awesome. I'm curious, important question. How do people choose the right brands of essential oils? I'm sure some brands out there don't get the Dr. Z seal of approval. Is there anything consumers should look for on the label?
No, actually. Label is one of the most misleading things. And, you know, I actually had to write an article on this on my blog, How to Choose a Brand. It's tough. I will say my heart goes out to everyone, including myself, because at the end of the day, the supplement industry, including essential oils, is the wild, wild west. It's not regulated by any government entity. Anyone can really do whatever they want, say whatever they want, and until they get reported, they're not going to change. And so the bottom line, folks, and this is true for everything, a vitamin, your mineral, your probiotic, whatever, is you have to trust the source. And I walk people through step by step by step, just some practical things of just trying to vet out the source. And once you find a trusted company, you got to trust them. It all boils down to trust. And you know what, quite frankly, same thing for Big Pharma. I mean, even though we know that the FDA monitors stuff,
right,
how many drugs get recalled after thousands of people die? You really got to trust your doctor, and you got to trust the company that you got to trust your pharmacist. That's the bottom line. So the same thing is, you got to vet out the company. You got to contact them. You got to ask for batch reports and just ask for transparency. Ask them, where do you source this stuff? You know, who tests it? Can I get a report? not like you're going to understand it and read it, but seriously, by virtue of you getting the report, that shows a level of transparency that a lot of companies aren't willing to give. And then if you kind of want to geek out on the chemistry, you could go on Dr. Google and look up how to read, you know, essential oil chemical right. analysis reports. It's not hard to do. I mean, so when it comes down to it, again, trust. But realize, and I kid you not, folks, please, 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 believe me, there is no best brand. And I would even argue, and not to step on any toes here, but there is no best of anything. It's what works for you. So whether it's a supplement, a multivitamin, whatever, yeah, you know what? I know people that use the purest oils on the planet, and they absolutely love them, but you know what? They get headaches from them because the biochemical individuality just doesn't match with that oil. And I know that they're pure. So right. at the end of the day, it's really important. There are a variety of essential oil companies that sell pure oil. There aren't dozens and dozens, but there are several. And once you find a couple, just enjoy. Really.
Yeah. I also say, look at the story behind the company. If you see the founder and the CEO that's floating around the yeah. world looking for the perfect photos and these selfies and looked at this perfect essential oil, you're like, wow, this guy really is tapped in and he really cares. You know, of course, you can't always judge that. But, you know, for him to go that far, it really shows that he's into getting the pure and the best compared to someone who doesn't have any information. Like, what's the background of this company? Who's the owner? Who's the founder? I like that when people kind of show the story because that's what it's all about. It's about trickling up to the top. Why is this person doing that? So that's great. You know, I love that you're biblical and nature-based in your recommendations. With so much fake food and fake nutrition on the market, essential oils really allow people to enjoy purity in its natural form. So I want to thank you for being on here, and I hope everybody gets this book, because it sounds like it's the definitive guide here. You're going to have everything that you've mentioned. I couldn't think of another question you'd answer.
Thanks so much, Doc. And you know what? One thing, too, about the book, about all my work, is I'm non-branded. And that lends itself to a lot of things that I could yeah. actually speak and not be a threat to anyone who's a multi-level marketing distributor. And I have the freedom of speech now. And it's at a point where people really can't speak freely about the healing power of these oils because they're actually legally restricted if they sell them. So at the end exactly. of the day, whether you sell XYZ brand or ABC brand, I don't care. You're going to learn. So thank you so much for having me on the show. It's really been
great.
A pleasure.
That's good. I did notice it about you. You know, you've got that unbiased ability, which is so trusting. It's like, of course he's going to say that. He's trying to push his own. Well, you didn't do that. You really bring that wall down, and I love that about you as well. So thanks again. Thanks so much for being on the show. To learn more or to order your copy of The Healing Powers of Essential Oils, go to DrEricZ.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for his free Essential Oil Club. Check out some great recipes, blog posts, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Eric Zielinski. That's spelled Zielinski. And for my daily health tweets, you can follow me at Dr. David Friedman. If you heard something today that you'd love to share with a friend, family member, or coworker, the podcast of this segment is available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Send them this information so they can learn about essential oils. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.